speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.
Welcome. On this Wednesday, February the 20th, 2019, I'm David Knight, your host. You know, we have, you can see this on the Drudge Report, Arizona Central is reporting you may soon have to give your DNA to the state and pay for the privilege, $250 to pay them to catalog your DNA. I mean, we've had fingerprints for a long time as a biometric identity, and you typically didn't have to do that unless you were doing something that the state demanded you get their permission for, unless you had committed a crime. And now everybody's got to turn over their identity to the state. And this is something that has other aspects to it besides just identification. Of course, I'm very concerned, as we all should be, about the science of DNA, how they can custom make viruses for different people groups. But, you know, hey, I'm just a conspiracy theorist. And yet, here we are. It's nearly 2020. We got 1984 well underway for quite some time. And we've got to go back and debate socialism versus liberty. I'm very discouraged that we have to do this, but I'm up for it. I'm really up for this. You know, as I tweeted out yesterday, Bernie Sanders is back. He wants to complete the revolution. Well, there's nothing about his idea that's a revolution. We've already seen this revolution before. As a matter of fact, it was over 100 years ago, 1917, we saw the revolution. We had the idiots in Russia actually implement Marxism. And actually, you know, just to use it as a cover for their authoritarian government. We didn't learn anything about the hundreds of millions of people that died in the 20th century. You know, most of them killed by authoritarian dictators, calling themselves socialists. That's what Hitler called himself. That's what Stalin called himself. That's what Mao called himself. World wars, massive purges, democide, death by government, starvation, a cultural revolution, a great leap forward. We didn't learn anything. Well, obviously, occasional cortex didn't learn anything. Obviously, the youthful idiots of her age didn't learn anything about history. And so we got to teach them. We'll do that today. We'll undertake that. I look at this. As I tweeted out yesterday, I said, it's not a revolution. They're old ideas that are revolting. And we should be revolting against this. We should be revolting against the government demanding our DNA. And yet we're arguing about this economic nonsense. It's been debunked, disproven everywhere, on every point of the compass. Think about it. East versus West Germany. North versus South Korea. Every point of the compass, you have a refutation of socialism. The same people, in the same country, same culture, same people group, but the same, essentially the same skills and so forth. No difference between the Germans and East and West Germany, except for this dividing line that got put there. Oh, of course, Alexandria Cortez says, oh, well, that's like the wall that we're putting up at the border. We've had that debate before, too. I guess you missed that. She is an example of a flaw in the Constitution. There is no requirement for intelligence or education, and I think the age is too low for people to get into Congress. The Constitution is not a perfect document. We've had all these arguments before. As a matter of fact, there was a debate just last year, or 2 years ago, between Cruz and Sanders, and that whole thing about the Berlin Wall came up again. Going back to what Ronald Reagan said, he said, you know, the guns were pointing in one direction on that wall for a reason, you know, keeping people in who wanted to be free. Of course, we're trying to keep people out of our country who want free stuff. They don't want freedom. They want free stuff. They don't like our country. They hate our country. They want free stuff from us. Hey, you know what? We're already full up with Democrats. We don't need any more. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Deceit, Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Welcome on this Wednesday, February the 20th, 2019. I'm David Knight, your host. It was just Monday that we had all the Democrat presidential wannabes attacking Christopher Columbus. And now here we are the next day. They go after John Wayne. Just line them up. Yeah, got to take down George Washington, Christopher Columbus, John Wayne. Anybody that represents America, they got to take them down because they hate America. They've got to deconstruct American culture. They have to do that in order to destroy America. That is their goal. And, of course, you know, they went back and said, oh, look, you know, John Wayne said some racist stuff. Well, it's not the first time that John Wayne has been lampooned by the left, as a matter of fact. When he was alive and able to defend himself, it was a different story. Let's go back to 1974. Harvard's National Lampoon decided that they would lampoon John Wayne. And he lampooned them back. And I think the Duke got the best of them. Here's a clip introduced by Walter Cronkite.
No matter how you feel about the wall.
Earlier this month, Harvard University's humor magazine, the Harvard Lampoon, sent movie star John Wayne a letter. In part, it said, "You're not so tough. The halls of academia may not be the halls of Montezuma, and maybe ivy doesn't smell like sagebrush, but we know a thing or two about guts." And then the lampoon challenged conservative Wayne to come to Harvard, which it described as the most intellectual, the most traditionally radical, in short, the most hostile territory on earth. Well, Wayne accepted the challenge, and David Culhane reports.
Even at Harvard University, people go crazy when a real old movie star shows up.
John Wayne
was mobbed in Cambridge, Massachusetts today. The band played as Wayne rode into town on the top of an armored personnel carrier supplied by sympathizers in the United States Army Reserves. But the hostilities began with a few well-placed collegiate snowballs. Wayne took his lumps like a real He-Man. Even in this center of liberalism, conservative Wayne was met by a crowd of thousands who only wanted to touch him. Police and soldiers had to convoy him into a Harvard Square theater to face a roasting from the lampoon staff.
Pulls up a gun after riding in on a tank.
Is it true that your toupee is real mohair?
I'm sure that's real hair. Not mine, but real hair. I'm having a hard enough time imitating the people that are imitating me.
Would an old warhorse like John Wayne agree to such a verbal pummeling from these whippersnappers? Well, his latest film was premiered here today. Maybe that had something to do with it. David Culhane, CBS News, Cambridge.
One other question asked of Wayne was whether President Nixon planned to make a movie about himself. Wayne replied, "He's a good enough actor." And that's the way it is. Tuesday, January 15th, 1974. This is Walter Cronkite, CBS News. Good night.
There you go. 45 years ago, right? Yeah, they all wanted to be him. You know, you have all these smart aleck Harvard intellectuals walking around with a parade. They thought they were going to make fun of John Wayne. He took them up on it, and he beat them at their own game. Yeah, he could take a joke. You know, he wasn't always right about everything. I'm not going to defend everything that John Wayne said. You know, one of his biggest problems was the defense of the Vietnam War. And that's one of the reasons why the left at that point in time was coming after him. But you know what? He shared a common problem with the little leftist intellectuals of today. He trusted government too much. Now, John Wayne trusted government because he thought the government was going to protect heartland America. The liberals today trust government to destroy heartland America. That's the difference between John Wayne and the liberals. Misplaced trust, both of them. But, you know, because when we look at Vietnam, look at the fact that war was started with a false flag. You had secret undeclared wars. You had betrayal, the massive betrayal of the troops who went and fought, who were idealistic, just like John Wayne was. That was a time for people to learn something about misplaced trust and authority. But, of course, the left wants to use it to destroy America. And that's one of the reasons why they come after John Wayne, because he's a symbol of America, like George Washington, like Christopher Columbus. They have to destroy our culture to destroy us, because nobody is going to destroy us from the outside. It has to be done from the inside. We have to lose our will to survive as a country. We have to be shamed into hating America. Be ashamed of being Americans. They couldn't shame John Wayne. He would show up in a tank waving a gun. And that's what we need to do, right back in their faces. Laugh at them, just as John Wayne did. It's absolutely amazing. When we look at the migrants coming across the border here, and we hear, oh, you're separating babies from their mothers. How many times has that become? That's become kind of a slogan of the left now. And we need to get back in their face and say, you're the ones who are ripping babies, not from their mother's arms. You're ripping the arms off of the babies as you rip them out of the wombs of the mothers. And of course, you're ripping the mother's wombs in many cases as well, leaving them infertile, leaving them with lifelong injuries or life-threatening injuries. Yeah, they care about women's health. They care about women's bodies. You know, we have Bernie Sanders, one of the most rabidly pro-abortion politicians you can find, especially of the ones who are not wearing skirts. Maybe he does wear skirts. I don't know his private life. But, Bernie Sanders cannot be shamed into defending human life under any circumstances. Oh, he's about, there's a woman's body. It's a choice. What choices, Bernie, do you want to offer anyone? You and the Democrat Party offer no choice to anyone. You offer mandates about everything, including our health. You're going to mandate our health care. You're going to mandate vaccines. You're going to mandate everything. You're not going to leave it just because it's my body. It's not my choice, is it? No, uh-uh. What a fraud these people are. But I think if John Wayne was looking, John Wayne married a Hispanic woman. If he were to look at these people coming across the border, he would say, well, if they want to stop burning American flags while they wave their flags, if they want to stop thumbing their nose at our country's borders, defying our laws, demanding free stuff as they rush the border, saying they have a sense of entitlement, if they want to do all that kind of stuff, then John Wayne would say, welcome, pilgrim. You wouldn't have a problem with that. That's the American way. That's the America of John Wayne, the America that I grew up in. But you know what? If you want to come into this country burning our flag, demanding entitlements from us, telling us how much you hate our country and how much you're going to take it, you're determined to take it back, you think that belonged to you or your ancestors originally, so you're going to take it back. It's Aslan or whatever. You want to do that, then you're going to find out that Americans like John Wayne have true grit. And you better fill your hands, you SOBs, because we're going to fight for this country. All right, we're going to talk about Bernie Sanders. We're going to talk about Kamala Harris. We're going to talk about Jesse Smollett. New revelations coming out. He might actually, the FBI is looking at this, not just the police department there in Chicago. The FBI is looking at this because he sent a letter to himself in the mail, pretended that it was some kind of poison powder, and it wasn't. But when you do a fraudulent terrorist attack, you could be looking at up to 5 years in prison for that kind of stuff. Very dangerous game that's being played by Smollett, by Hollywood, by the leftist politicians who supported him, who are still reluctant to criticize him, no matter what happens, by the press that's out there. In Europe, they push socialism through economic division and envy. Here, they push it through racism and the narrative of white privilege. Same thing, essentially. That all goes back to Bill Ayers. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
We'll be to complete the revolution, says Bernie.
Actually, the revolution's been completed numerous times, Bernie. We know how this play ends, and we're not going to let it happen here in America. If the shotgun has to sing the song, so be it. You're not taking our guns. We know how you communist revolutionaries run. You start out trying to take the guns. Mao said power comes out of the barrel of the gun. And of course, he's going to have all the guns and all the barrels pointing at other people. Well, not here in America. Not here. You know, we've seen how this plays out. You know, we see you, this old fossil, lying to people, this relic of the past. I guess what we ought to call him is a paleo-Marxist. He's not a socialist. He's not a progressive. Bernie Sanders is a paleo-Marxist. AOC. Now, she's another case. She's a special case. And I can understand that occasional cortex doesn't know what happened in East and West Germany. She can't tell the difference between those two. But, you know, we still have North and South Korea. There's no excuse for that. And she doesn't understand that. Yeah, she may not understand about Mao. You know, she's too young to have seen any of this stuff. And she doesn't study history or politics, so she doesn't know anything. But we do. We know how this ends, and we know that it's going to not happen here in America, no matter what we have to do. You know, it was 13 years ago, I went to communist China with my family to adopt my daughter. And they were still trying to claw their way out of the austerity and starvation that was imposed on them by somebody who wanted to lead a cultural revolution. A great leap forward. Why didn't you call her Green New Deal a great leap forward? And why not? That sounds even better. A green leap forward by a green congresswoman and the people who are foolish enough to fall in behind her, who, like her, are not just useful idiots for Lenin, but they are youthful idiots, because there's no idiot that's more useful than a youthful one. That has no experience, that hasn't seen any of this stuff before, hasn't learned anything from studying history. As the Washington Post is pointing out, the Democrat Party is kind of caught between Trump and Marx. Of course, they call it the left. And so they're trying to avoid that label. Cory Booker on Sunday tried to walk it back a little bit, you know, trying to straddle this. He wants to appeal to what is hip. Right? What is hip right now is socialism because of AOC and Bernie Sanders. And so he wants to come out on Sunday. He says, well, here's a hard truth about Medicare for all. It's going to be difficult to pass. So we're going to have to do it incrementally. We have to be satisfied with incrementalism. That's what we've seen for a long time. That's what I was talking about to Mark Morano yesterday, Climate Depot. He said it's the incrementalism. And that's the real danger, quite frankly, folks, because we've got Republicans who won't push back on this. They won't oppose the lies of climate change. They won't oppose the lies of socialism, for the most part. They just let this go on. And then as the Democrats enact something like Obamacare, what do? They let it stand. And they pretend that this was done legally. They let the subsidy stand. President Trump is still letting the subsidy stand. You got Obama comes in with the globalist agenda of open borders and socialism with Obamacare and DACA. Those are not legal. President Trump could end both of those. As a matter of fact, for Obamacare is dependent. You've got a mandate, which is not constitutional. I don't care what John Roberts says, liberal judges. You can't force me to buy products from a private company. That's not in the Constitution. Quite frankly, that's not even socialism. That's fascism. That's fascism. Isn't that interesting? Obamacare is fascism. Do you ever realize that? Of course it is. It's also based on theft, just like socialism. Because the Congress wouldn't fund it, as I pointed out the other day. I pointed that out on Monday. I've pointed it out many times. I've pointed it out so many times the last couple of years. Congress did not fund Obamacare subsidies. They stole, Obama stole them. So they refused to fund it. Then he took an executive action where he did what he called a net asset sweep. He stole the money from Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac investors after those two federal guarantees of mortgages and so forth, those kind of quasi-government organizations. People bought mortgages they thought would be safe, guaranteed by the government. Well, you get something that's guaranteed. It's all guaranteed by the government. Is guaranteed to ultimately steal everything from you, just like they did Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac investors. So they did a net asset sweep. They took the money from that and used it for subsidies. The Congress that did not fund the subsidies sued them in court. The judge agreed with them. And then Eric Holder appealed, and Obama continued down the path. We've never seen that with President Trump. Whenever you got a single judge that vetoes a Trump policy, Trump's policy is to bow down and obey that judge. They might appeal it, but in the meantime, they will stop the whatever it is that judge objected to. Well, Obama didn't stop, and they had the appeal, and the appeal is still running through 2 years afterwards through Jeff Sessions, through the current Trump Department of Justice. They have not stopped that appeal. If they would stop that appeal, the Obamacare subsidies would stop, because both the judicial and the legislative branches have said no to the Obamacare subsidy. So we're running Obamacare simply on an Obama executive action, just like DACA, whereas Department of Homeland Security said, we're not going to enforce the law. We're not going to obey our oath to the Constitution. And President Trump continues with that, even using it as a bargaining chip. How bankrupt is that? Morally bankrupt. Nevertheless, the Washington Post said, these people are trying to triangulate this, trying to appease both the hardcore socialists, Marxists in their party, and at the same time, try to tell people that they're not as crazy as Bernie and occasional Cortex. Kamala Harris on Monday said, well, you know, the Green New Deal, some of it we'll achieve and some of it we won't. Amy Klobuchar, is that how you pronounce her name? She's a senator, I guess. I haven't really talked about her much. I hope I don't have to learn how to pronounce her name. I hope she's a flash in the pan that goes away pretty soon. She said, well, I'm not going to support making four-year college free. If I was a magic genie and I could give that to everyone and we could afford it, I would, she said. Well, of course, they do have a magic genie. As occasional Cortex pointed out, the Federal Reserve has been the magic genie since the New Deal. And she wants to do that again with the Green New Deal. You know, the old New Deal was predicated on Keynesian economics and the idea that the deficit doesn't matter. You know, the money that we borrow from the Chinese communists and the Saudi head choppers, that doesn't matter. That's fine. It is the magic genie, but you know what it really is, folks? It's smoke and mirrors, isn't it? It's really kind of like the Looney Tunes cartoons where you run off the cliff. And you keep going for a while until you look down and you see there's nothing underneath you, and then you fall. Well, that's the deal that we've been given since FDR. Actually, I think the Democrat Party is really the party of Thelma and Louise. They are the perfect metaphor for the Democrat Party. We'll come back and talk about Bernie Sanders.
Liberty. It's your move. And now, the David Knight Show.
Yeah, I was talking about East and West Germany. Of course, that distinction has been gradually erased. But we still have a very hardcore distinction between North and South Korea. Just look at them from a satellite picture. Look at them at night, and you can see how South Korea is completely lit up, and North Korea is completely dark. What a metaphor that is for the Green New Deal, for sustainable austerity. Yeah, they've been sustaining that austerity in North Korea for quite some time, and the Democrats want to bring that to you for their Green New Deal. It's great. You know, they're not using all that power and everything. They don't have all that air conditioning or heating or whatever, you know, to burn down the planet. But, of course, the Chinese have very dirty power plants, and there's no restriction on that with the Global Climate Change Treaty, the Paris Climate Accord. No restrictions on the Chinese or the Indians who are building very, very dirty plants. No restriction on the quality of air coming out of those plants. No restriction on the quantity of those plants that they would build. But, of course, this is a global problem?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, exactly. No, we understand exactly what this is. And as I was saying, 13 years ago, we went to China to adopt my daughter. They were still trying to recover. They had gone a long way to recover from Mao. But they still had, amazingly, the cult of Mao. They were still selling all kinds of little Maoist trinkets and everything. Actually, it seems to be even bigger today because you've got the current Chinese president, Xi, pushing that cult. They just had the Grand Tour guys go to China, and they were going to all these different shops. It looks like, at least where they were going, they had even more Mao garbage than they did when we were there. And it was amazing to go from communist China to Hong Kong. Just traveling internally in the country, the trains that were going into the interior of China were some of the filthiest, most disgusting things I've ever been on in my life. And yet, when you're going to go to Hong Kong, even going to that station, they had a different station, a different train. It was a nice, modern train. You go into Hong Kong, a city that has experienced probably the distinction between Hong Kong and communist China is even greater than the distinction between North and South Korea. Because for 100 years that the British had them, they really weren't concerned about whatever the people in Hong Kong did. They really were not interested in dominating them and taking away their freedom. So as Milton Friedman pointed out, when he did his series, Free to Choose, he kept going back to Hong Kong as a good example of the freest country on earth. Maybe that's why the people in Hong Kong are taking to the streets with umbrellas and other means of protest as the communists try to push their philosophy, their politics on them, take away their freedoms. And of course, the way they're doing it, first and foremost, is through the schools. Through the schools. Demanding that the students be taught the Mao version of history, the Mao version of politics and so forth. And the people in Hong Kong have pushed back numerous times against that. Destroying the free press there as well. That's another hallmark of communism. You know, we go back to the protests against John Wayne that have now lit up little trolls and Twitter who couldn't stand up to the real John Wayne if he was around. But they can do whatever they want to criticize him there. But, you know, these are people who, when you go back and you look at the leftists at Harvard, or the Harvard Lampoon, who were lampooning John Wayne back in 1974, these are people who were pushing back against war. Do you see the leftists pushing back against all these wars? I don't, for the most part. They were also talking about the free speech movement, you know, coming out of Berkeley. And yet, what is Berkeley about today? They're the Antifa, the anti-First Amendment is really what that is about. See, these people love the First Amendment and free speech until they can get power. They use it to get power, and then they take it away from you. They use the promise of free stuff to get power, and then they take everything from you. That's the pattern that we've seen before. So, as the Washington Post points out, we had a Democrat cast of candidates. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. It's a casting call. It's very diverse by race and gender. But even the Washington Post says they're pretty much all clustered on the left side of the ideological spectrum. Well, that's a polite way to put it. They're hardcore communists and Marxists. They're not diverse when it comes to ideas. They're devoid of diversity. They're devoid of any ideas, quite frankly. They've got a lot of old ideas that have only been successful in terms of establishing authoritarian governments. They said, while Sanders and Ocasio-Cortez identify as democratic socialists, most of the presidential field does not. Oh, they may reject the label, but they don't reject the policies. One of the reasons they may reject that label is because we just had this poll come out, the Gallup poll. Since 1939, they would ask Americans every year what they think the greatest problem facing America is. Well, guess what Americans yesterday said, or said in the poll that was released yesterday. Probably took that information about a week earlier. They listed government as the biggest problem facing the United States. Got that right. 35% of those polled, that's a record number, saw government as the key problem in the United States today. So previously, the high number was in October of 2013. And as they point out, it may be because both in 2013 and right now in 2019, they took the poll during or right after a government shutdown. And that seems to be reflected in the poll. 11% of the people that they polled, 11% of Americans specifically cited President Trump as the biggest problem in America. 5% named Democrats or liberals. 1% named Congress. 18% of the people, U.S. adults, blame both parties. And so as Reason Magazine pointed out, if people are thinking that Trump and the Republicans are the problem when they say government is a problem, then maybe socialism is growing and it'll be widely embraced. However, increasing the entitlement state in a way that stops short of textbook socialism requires a lot of faith and trust in government. And it seems there isn't a lot of that to go around. You think these people who can't even fund their own bureaucracies can run and fund all the free stuff that they're going to give you? You really have faith that these people can get this done, even from a pragmatic standpoint? If you look at this and you say, well, I think it is possible for them to print paper out of thin air, and we can print our way to prosperity. We can pass laws that give everybody everything for free, and we really can make a free lunch work. Do you think these people are the ones who could make a free lunch work? See, that's the next question here. Of course they can. They can't even fund the free lunch for themselves because that's what the government is. It's really a free lunch for these people, the bureaucrats, the as President Reagan said, closest thing we have to eternal life on this earth is the government job. Bernie Sanders, however, has another problem besides the fact that Americans don't trust government to work, let alone, you know, trust government to be able to provide all this free stuff. We just don't trust that it works. We continue, unfortunately, and we'll talk about this in a minute. We continue whenever we see it's a big problem. Whenever the Republicans see a big problem, they want the government to solve it. They want the federal government to solve it. That is true. Just look at the war on drugs, right? Republicans think that the war on drugs is a big problem, and it is a big problem. No doubt about it. Drugs and drug addiction are a huge problem. But government can't solve it. We've had 48 years to prove that. Democrats, look at poverty. Things like that. Well, that's a big problem. We want government to solve that. Well, we've had an even longer period of time to show that that doesn't work either. But they both want the government to solve it, and they want government at the highest level to solve it, but government at the highest level can't even fund itself, let alone all of your wishes and your desires. When we come back, we're going to talk about Bernie Sanders, abortion, and Nicaragua, Cuba, and Russia. Welcome back. We're going to take a look at some of the things that Bernie has said, and we're going to take a look at the difficult position that some of these candidates are in as they try to negotiate this minefield of leftist politics with the Democrats. It can be pretty rough. It's going to be fun to watch them, but we're going to also talk about what's going on with violations against your privacy, because liberty really does matter. Life also matters. And so we're going to be talking about Bernie Sanders, one of the most pro-abortion senators we've got. He wants to be president as well. Before we get to that, I just want to tell you about some of the specials, some of the new products that we have at InfoWarsStore.com, because that's what funds this program. And we've got some new products. We've got InfoWars Life protein bars. We released those last week. Natural protein, fiber-packed power. And they're only 240 calories of 15 grams of protein each. Come in two great tasting flavors, vanilla coconut and chocolate peanut butter. You can save 40% off of two boxes or more. We also have Ultimate Bone Broth, the power of ancient nutrients. That's available at 50% off. And we have still have the Brain Force Plus special. You can save 50% off of Brain Force Plus when you get it in combination with Turbo Force, another one of our new products The Brain Synergy Combo from InfoWars Life has BrainForce Plus and TurboForce. You save 50% off the BrainForce Plus, and it gives you a chance to try the new product, TurboForce. The two of them work together, even more powerful together. Check out the products that we've got at InfoWarsStore.com, folks. We really do appreciate your support. And your purchases there help to support not only your health, but also your free speech and the real free press here at InfoWars. All right, let's talk about Bernie Sanders. As Life News points out, he's never been a moderate on abortion. He's consistently been with the Democrats. He's rejected even moderate restrictions on abortions. He supports things like late-term abortions. And, of course, it's become a thing. I don't know if he has repeated this mantra that we've seen now several candidates on the left talking about, oh, yeah, Trump, he's ripping babies out of mother's arms as they rip babies from their mother's womb, as they rip the arms off of babies and then sell them. You know, Kamala Harris, district attorney there in California, when the Center for Medical Progress did the investigation, showed them offering to rip out certain baby parts and sell them for profit for Planned Parenthood. She went after the whistleblowers, not the criminals who were doing that. That was Kamala Harris as attorney general in California. She went after the whistleblowers who exposed that crime. In January 2018, Bernie Sanders voted against a bill to ban late-term abortions just last year, a year and a month ago. That bill would have saved as many as 18,000 unborn babies from abortions every year, that late-term and late-term abortions. Oh, but they're much more bold this year, aren't they? This year, we got people like Ralph and all of them, a guy who was a doctor, saying, yeah, we'll let that baby be born. We'll set it over here on the table and decide if we want to let it live, we're going to kill it after it's born. Don't talk to me about the mother's body. What a sham these people are. You want people like that in charge of your health care? People have no regard whatsoever for the most innocent among us. You want them in charge of your health care? Seriously? You know, he may go on record opposing American invasions of various countries in Central and South America. He doesn't have a problem invading the womb of mothers, though, does he? Not Bernie. No, sir. Not Bernie. The legislation that he opposed had strong support, but Sanders and his fellow Democrats killed it. 51 senators, 48 Republicans, 3 Democrats voted to take the bill up for debate. But they pretended that they were going to go with a filibuster rule. Oh, you got to have 60 votes, so we're not even going to talk about it. Because quite frankly, folks, the Republican leadership, like Mitch McConnell, doesn't want the abortion issue to go away either. They don't want it to go away. They're not going to oppose it on moral issues, on moral grounds. They want it there. It's a political football. It gets you to vote for them year after year. They do not want to end it. The GOP establishment does not want to end abortion. Just understand that. That's why they won't fight hard for that. They won't fight hard for immigration issues. I mean, they want to see a lot of these things happen. Just take a look at the Bush family history. I won't go into that again. But Prescott Bush, right there at the beginning. Right there at the beginning with Margaret Sanger. He was a treasurer for Margaret Sanger. His name is there on the very first letterhead that they had. That's the tradition of the Republican establishment. Sanders famously couldn't answer a question from Brett Bauer when he asked him about what he thought about abortion. When he was running for president, he was asked, can you name a single circumstance at any point in a pregnancy in which you would be okay with abortion being illegal?
Well, it's not a question of me being okay. It's a, I happen to believe it's wrong for the government to be telling a woman what to do with her own body.
Well, I'll then follow up, Brett, and ask him about mandatory vaccines. Or you might even ask him, you know, about that other blanket pass that the government gets for exposing people to health risks, the Telecommunications Act of 1996. You know, we had immunity given to the vaccine companies in 1986. And then in 1996, we had the Telecommunications Act that said that you can't object to clusters of cell phones, even if they put them right next to an elementary school. People said, hey, look, we got a cancer cluster of kids here in New York because of this cell phone tower that they put within 50 feet of this elementary school. We've had an unusual number of this particular type of cancer from these kids. Oh, you can't sue. We got the 1996 Telecommunications Act. You can't object to that whatsoever. So they don't really care about invading your body with vaccines and forced injections or electromagnetic radiation. They're about to do it again with 5G. Ah, all right. Or just ask him, you know, what other things, Bernie, are you pro-choice on besides killing babies? Anything that you would give us a choice about? Or are you going to mandate everything else in our life? He went on to talk about, yeah, oh, these Republicans, they say they want to get government off our backs, yet somehow, on this issue, they want to tell every woman in America what she should do with her body. Well, it's not her body at a late-term abortion. This is a different body, whether it's male or female. You know, sometimes it's male. That might give you a clue, Bernie, that it's not her body. The DNA is different, even if it's a baby girl. The DNA is different. So Brett Bauer followed up, said, well, I guess the genesis of this question is that there are some Democrats who say that after 5 months, with the exception of the life of the mother or the health of the baby, that perhaps that's something to look at. But you're saying no? And Sanders said, I'm very strongly pro-choice. That is a decision to be made by the woman, her physician, and her family. That's my view. And, you know, here we are, 2019, still the view of the Democrat Party. You know, we'll get together, the family and the physician will put the baby on the table, and we'll decide if we're going to kill it or not after it's been born. Kamala Harris says she's not a Democrat socialist. Let's play the clip. She, however, when pressed on it, she can't really come up with any policies on which she differs. She doesn't like that label. Don't label me like that, you know, because that's the game they play, folks. They are masters at labeling themselves. But you got to look at the policies that they have to say. Here's Kamala Harris.
Bernie Sanders jumped into the presidential race today. You said that you are not a Democratic socialist.
I am not.
What's the difference between a Democrat and a Democratic socialist in your mind?
I support capitalism. It in theory,
yeah, right,
is something that requires competition. I strongly believe that we need to have Medicare for all. And within that system, there...
Do you think that's socialist or not, Medicare for all?
No. No, it's about providing health care to all people. It's about understanding that access to affordable health care should not be a privilege. It should be a right. It's about understanding that in a democracy, in the way we have constructed our democracy, we at least in concept have said that your access to public education, public health, or public safety should not be a function of how much money you have.
Yeah, let's talk about privileges versus rights. You know, you want to travel? That's a privilege. You don't have a right. Get your driver's license from me or let the TSA put their hands on your body, you know, because your traveling is a privilege. It's not a basic right. And down the line, we have that. She says she supports capitalism. She supports crony capitalism. Crony capitalism is not the free market. Very different thing. To say you're going to have competition when the government is there dictating what you can and cannot buy, when the government is there providing your health care, providing your insurance. You know, we still got the Democrats out there complaining about the fact that people can't afford health insurance, can't get health care. I thought we passed Obamacare 6 years ago, was it? 2013, something like that. Are they admitting that that's a failure? Because President Trump hasn't done anything to change Obamacare. None of the Republicans have.
Broadcasting with the power of the First Amendment, it's the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. You know, Bernie Sanders attacks President Trump, says, I think he's a pathological liar. I also think he's racist, sexist. You know, when they start throwing out this stuff here, I'm so sick and tired of these labels. You know, they use certain labels, they run from other labels. Let's just look at what they do, what they say. When they start calling us racist, sexist, we just need to come back and say, baseless, baseless. You have no basis to say that. And let's understand that this is the party of Jim Crow. It's the party of Ralph Northam. It's the party of the Ku Klux Klan. It's the party of Mark Herring, the attorney general there in Virginia. Also, blackface and so forth. I mean, you know, come on. Maybe these Democrats put black on their face because, you know, they have absolutely no shame. They're unable to blush. Or maybe they are blushing from the hypocrisy. I don't know what's up with them. But, you know, come on, Bernie. You can do better than that. Yeah, it's not a revolution. It's just revolting. There's nothing new about this. This is old. Even your rhetoric is old. Older than you. You don't want to debate anybody. You just want to censor other people. You want to demonize other people. He says, President Trump is trying to pick on minorities, often undocumented immigrants. Well, you know, I don't know how much longer foreign citizens who are criminally trespassing into this country are going to be a minority. They're hoping, the Democrats are hoping, that they aren't going to be a minority. They're hoping that they're going to be the majority that will give them power. You know, there was a story last week that I've had on my desk here for a while, kept meaning to get to it, came out February the 13th. About a week ago, exactly a week ago, Breitbart News, Guatemala intelligence head said that the caravans were well planned. They weren't spontaneous. This man is the head of the Secretariat of Strategic Intelligence of Guatemala. His name is Duarte. He was speaking at an event hosted by the Center for Free, Secure Society at the National Press Club in Washington. He said this was not a spontaneous event, these caravans. It was well-planned, well-organized. He said different intelligence and law enforcement military agencies found evidence that the first one, back in October, that was organized from Honduras to the United States, at one point it contained 40,000 people, was organized in advance. He said there was a call on October the 5th in Honduras for citizens to join a massive migration walk to the United States, quote unquote. He said, we detected logistical preparation throughout Guatemala and Mexico to be able to bring these people to the U.S. southern border. Well, we knew that. We said, who's organized it? This is really well organized. They're going to be fed. I mean, this is massive movement of people. They're fed. They've got people there in shirts to escort them and everything. He said they started working with Honduran, Guatemalan, Mexican counterparts. He said the organization was impressive, to say the least. They used mainly social media apps like WhatsApp and Facebook. He named some of the people. He said Bartolo Fuentes, a Honduran activist, was the main leader of the caravan on the ground. He came into Guatemala beforehand to scout the place out, to send money to places that migrants could stay as they're moving through Guatemala towards Mexico. Duarte said the group also connected with international NGOs, non-governmental organizations like Oxfam and so forth. We know exactly what this was about. And we know that this is an agenda that's been pushed by the UN, that's been pushed by the globalists. They were selling this in 2000. They were telling everybody, just like these other, you know, Social Security, for example, all this stuff, Medicare for all, universal basic income for all, universal child care for all. Let's just go back to the original lie of Social Security. They picked 65 because that was going to be that was the life expectancy at the time they did the first Social Security in Germany. And of course, as the Ponzi scheme, the pyramid, started to made it very clear it wasn't going to work because of declining populations. We were told back in 2000 by the UN, well, you got to bring in people from other countries so they will support you. And yet, 65% of them are on welfare. They're not going to support us. This whole thing has been a lie, a diversion, an excuse to get power over our lives. We'll be right back. More about Bernie Sanders' Soviet honeymoon.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
You know, most presidents, after they're elected, they have what they call a honeymoon period. The press kind of lays off and doesn't criticize them a little bit. You know, gives them a little bit of slack. They've just, they're a new president, so we'll give them a little bit of time. Give them the benefit of the doubt. That never happened with President Trump. He never had a honeymoon with the mainstream media, and yet Bernie Sanders and people like de Blasio, the mayor of New York, their honeymoon has never ended with the mainstream media. As a matter of fact, especially because, you know, Bernie Sanders' honeymoon was in the Soviet Union. That's where he wanted to go. He loves, you want to talk about a Russian connection? Bernie Sanders loves Russia. He loves Stalinist Russia. He loves communist Russia. That's very different from the Russian Federation today. You may not know that. You know, in Russia, after the communists, and I'm not saying that, you know, Putin is George Washington or anything, but he's not Joseph Stalin either. Only 30% of the people in Russia support the Communist Party. They got less, communism has less support in Russia than it does here in America. We've got more than 30% of the people in America that are part of the Democrat, socialist, progressive, whatever you want to call them. They're communists. They're communists in everything but name. In Russia, there was a big movement to try to get Lenin out of Red Square. They don't like him. They've changed the name of Stalingrad and Leningrad. They've gone back to the original names, St. Petersburg and so forth. They're trying to get rid of communism. We're trying to bring it in. And Bernie Sanders, going back to 2015, a couple of news outlets, not too many, a couple of news outlets were talking about it. National Review talked about Bernie Sanders' Soviet honeymoon back in June of 2015. I said, what is it about worn-out socialist worker paradises like the old Soviet Union and Cuba that bring out the romantic in American radical politicians? When Bernie Sanders started running for president, the Britain's Guardian newspaper, imagine that, the Guardian, went back through the old archives of Burlington, Vermont, his hometown where he was mayor. He was mayor there in the 1980s, and they discovered that Sanders really did practice the socialism that he preached. Burlington formed an alliance with the Soviet city of Yaroslavl, 160 miles northeast of Moscow. And then in 1988, when he married his wife, this is significant because remember, Russia was Stalinist, Marxist, communist until 1989, at least. That was when the wall fell. The Soviet Union started coming apart. Russia is not the Soviet Union, but he loves the Soviet Union. Hates Russia today. It's not Soviet enough, evidently. So in 1988, Bernie married his wife, Jane. This was before she started all the money laundering through universities and stuff. And the mayor decided it'd be a perfect place to go for his honeymoon, Russia. And he came back and he started telling all the people that housing and health care appear to be, quote, significantly better than in the U.S. I'm sorry. Better in the U.S. than in the socialist paradise. I got that backwards. You know, I said that because when I was in Raleigh, and I've told this story before. I went to a town council meeting because there they had their, the typical fantasy of small town socialists is that they're going to have light rail systems. They already did it here in Austin. You can see the empty cars riding around, crossing the road, delaying traffic from time to time here. yeah, they got the empty rail cars making the empty buses stop. Nevertheless, in Little Raleigh, where they roll the streets up at 8 o'clock, as I used to say, Mayberry RFD. You had, at one of these town council's meetings, they had a town councilwoman who had gotten back from the Soviet Union, and she was bragging about the subway system in Moscow. I can go anywhere for a nickel, or whatever it was. It's some trivial amount. And she says, why can't we do that here in Raleigh? Unbelievable. It's like, well, because we've already built roads, we own private cars, we can go whenever we want, wherever we want, we pay our own way here, we have freedom of mobility here in Raleigh. And you know, my comment to her was, it only cost them everything to have that nearly free transportation there. The Simpsons used to parody that. You've got Gavin Newsom saying, you know, we can't afford this high-speed bullet train in California. Others are saying we can't afford this electrified train that's going to cost $133 million and so. But that reality hasn't dawned on the national socialists of the Democrat Party. That's really what we're going to call them. Right? That's Hitler called his party the National Socialists. That's what Nazi stands for, of course. And we do have a lot of national socialists. We got AOC. We got Bernie Sanders and so forth. It's the national socialists that are the ones that are really dangerous, and they're the ones that are the most socialist. But yeah, public transportation, free public transportation. But he said, well, you know, we do have better health care here than they do in Russia. He also visited Cuba. He got to meet with Havana's mayor in 1985. He got to go to Nicaragua. And it was the 6th anniversary. He was there to celebrate the Communist Revolution in Nicaragua. He said, in the long run, he told the Nicaraguan dictators, I am certain you will win. Your heroic revolution against the Somoza dictatorship will be maintained and strengthened. Nevertheless, the Sandinistas were ousted by the Nicaragua's voters just 5 years later. But, of course, we also have Bill de Blasio's honeymoon, 2013. He was caught off guard by a radio host, Eno Gomez, who had fled Cuba in 1970. He realized that de Blasio had spent his honeymoon in Cuba. So Bernie Sanders goes to Russia for his honeymoon. No collusion there, of course. Just idolatry of Soviet communism. And then you got de Blasio, who in 1991, when he got married, he decided that he would go to Cuba for his honeymoon. And so Gomez, who is a Cuban refugee, said, what did you see in Cuba? What is your impression going on a honeymoon in a country that hasn't had a free election for the last 50 years? What did you get from that trip? And, you know, the bottom line is he had to violate U.S. law to go to Cuba in 1991. Well, I kind of find it interesting when we compare these two. You know, de Blasio is saying, well, I'm not going to endorse Bernie Sanders because, you know, I might still run. Of course, you know, the Democrats love their communists, their socialists. And these socialists, the honeymoons, you know, they want to, you know, they don't have enough socialists. Maybe de Blasio feels like he could better represent socialism and communism than even Bernie Sanders. So maybe he'll throw his hat in the ring. But how has that worked out in communist Nicaragua? You know, we go back and look at Bernie's history there. He talks about he wants to complete the revolution. Let's play a clip. We've got Bernie talking about the Sandinista revolution back in 1985. I want you to hear a little bit about what Bernie thought was so impressive about Castro, how they had given them health care. Here's Bernie in 1985.
Nobody denies. I mean, that you go and you speak to the leaders of the opposition, and they will not deny. How can you deny when you had illiteracy of 50% several years ago, and now it's down to 13 or 14%? No one denies that that's of great importance. No one denies that they are building health clinics. Health care in Nicaragua is now free. It is terrible. It is very primitive compared to what we get. You know, it's not the medical center of Vermont there, believe it. But they now have it free. They are doing a lot of preventative health care. Kids were dying there because they had diarrhea and they couldn't resist the diseases that came. They're now effectively treating that. Infant mortality has been greatly reduced. So I think in terms of health care, in terms of education, in terms of land reform, giving for the first time in their lives real land to farmers so that they can have something that they grow, nobody denies that they are making a significant progress.
All right, let's hold it right there. We've got to go to break. When we come back, we're going to tell you how that all worked out. You know, not only did the voters turn them out in about 5 years after he's talking about the workers' paradise, but he's going on and on about how there was more support for Daniel Ortega in 1985 than there was for Ronald Reagan in Vermont. Good point. You know, maybe Vermont should secede. I would support that. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Money. You know, Bernie loved communist, Stalinist Russia. Goes there for his honeymoon. He loved communist Cuba and Castro. He went there so he could meet the mayor and so forth. He loved communist, corrupt Nicaragua. He went there and came back singing their praises, saying he's got more support there than Ronald Reagan does in Vermont. That was short-lived. It didn't take very long for the people in Nicaragua to recognize that the man that Bernie Sanders loved so much, Daniel Ortega, was not their savior. He was just another corrupt dictator. He was using a different excuse to try to get control over their lives. And you know, when Bernie Sanders, in a debate with Ted Cruz back in October of 2017, they're debating socialism. Bernie loved Denmark. I tell you what, you know, when we were in Denmark covering Bilderberg, I had a lot of people come up to me. And they were Danes living under socialism. They didn't like it. They didn't like the control of their lives. As a matter of fact, some of them said, you know, the government's got so much control of our lives. They didn't want to be seen talking to me in public. They were afraid that there would be repercussions in terms of them getting jobs. Do you think that happens in countries where the government totally dominates everything? But, you know, let's go back to all the free stuff. You know, Bernie Sanders said Americans would be quite willing to pay higher taxes that are paid in Denmark if they knew that they would get all this free stuff, like, you know, health care and education and daycare and all that kind of stuff. And that's what the Democrats are now promising us. You know, we have universal basic income. Some of them are promising us. You know, Elizabeth Warren just came out with her universal child care. As I pointed out yesterday when I talked about that, I said, think about the downward spiral of dependency that the Democrats have created. On the one hand, they say, oh, I'll give you all this free stuff. On the other hand, they keep cranking up the taxes. I just talked about that. I said, well, you know, tell you what, let's talk about what happened. America, 1950s, as I said yesterday, the typical family of four, a median family income there, they were paying 2% in taxes. Today, 28, 30%. Is it worth it? Is it worth it to have both parents have to work? And I mean, we're talking about a nuclear family here, you know, two parents, couple of kids, not the families that have been destroyed by the gender politics and the animosity created between men and women by the Democrats and so forth. Let's just talk about the ideal situation. I understand that everybody doesn't live in an ideal world, but are you still any better off, even as a single parent, with the high taxes that you pay? To have child care then provided under some circumstances for some of the people? That's going to be very expensive. It means they're going to have to raise taxes. And there's your downward spiral, further and further into dependency on the government that you're going to have to depend on for your job, for your child care, for your housing, for your transportation, for your food, and so forth. That is the downward spiral. They want to be in control of everything for you. They're not out there practicing compassion. It's one of the reasons why they hate George Washington. He said, government is not compassion. It's not reason or eloquence. They're not going to debate this for you. They're not going to figure this out. They can't even run their own bureaucracies. We just saw that. That's why most Americans said the biggest problem facing us today is the government. And more than half of the people that said that said it's both parties. Oh, but you want them to manage every aspect of your life and provide everything for you for free. Let me tell you, when you put these higher taxes out there, even if you're a single parent and you're struggling, you say, well, you know, that free child care that Pocahontas is offering me, that'd be great. It's as phony as her DNA. And what it does, you want to talk about a glass ceiling for your careers, women. This is a glass ceiling for everybody, for women and men, everybody. You get a glass ceiling with socialism. You will not make more than this. Because these people running the government have decided that that's the max that you're going to make. And so Bernie Sanders thinks that you love taxes. Bernie Sanders was apoplectic when President Trump passed the tax cuts. He said he's looting the treasury. Remember that? Looting the treasury. That money, he thinks, belongs to him. And he's going to dole it out to you like a parent and you're a child on an allowance from the federal government. Everything that you have first belongs to them. And then, you know, if they give you back some of that, that's an expenditure, or it's a looting of the treasury. You know, that's they take, you know, they've got this hoard of cash that they've stolen from you, your labor, your time. And they're not going to put it back out there because, you know, that'd be an expenditure. That'd be looting them, looting their power is what you'd be doing. Also, in that TV debate with Ted Cruz, they went back and forth about, you know, at that point in time, again, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, even if she doesn't know anything about the Berlin Wall, the Iron Curtain, any of that stuff, you know, she just came out and referred to that again. We've got a very short clip. It's only about 9 seconds. Let's play a video clip number three Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez saying that Trump's wall is like the Berlin Wall.
No matter how you feel about the wall, you know, I think it's a moral abomination. I think it's like the Berlin Wall.
She thinks it's like the Berlin Wall. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Except as Ted Cruz is pointing out, he quoted Ronald Reagan. He said, you know, the guns on the Berlin Wall all pointed the same way against those who wanted to escape communism in East Berlin. And again, of course, you know, she doesn't understand the failure of communism, the failure of authoritarian policies in East Germany versus the freedom in West Germany. She doesn't understand why people would want to escape the system she wants to impose upon us. But again, you know, it was to keep people in who wanted to be free. We're building a wall to keep out people who want free stuff and are willing to take our freedom in order to get our free stuff. In other words, more Democrats. We want to keep out the socialists because we've got enough of them in the Democrat Party already. But AOC didn't hear, she doesn't know anything about the Berlin Wall. She doesn't know anything about, you know, that goes back to the 60s. She doesn't know anything about what Ronald Reagan said about the Berlin Wall in the 80s. And she doesn't understand that distinction. And of course, neither does Bernie Sanders. When we look at what he's talking about, of course, you know, it's just based on envy. I remember when I was in high school reading a magazine article talking about Europe, talking about the sclerosis of the European economy, how they couldn't innovate and change like America because everything was centrally planned. And if they didn't have a lot of restrictions and regulations that are effectively central planning, not to the extent that they have or had at the time in the Soviet Union, but it was still a lid that they put on everything. They called it a Eurosclerosis, in other words, a hardening of the economy, inflexibility, blocking things, you know, like a blocking of the arteries, that type of thing. And one person from Europe said, in Europe, if you had a nice car, people would look at it, hate it, and key it. They take the key out, scratch it down the side, out of envy, out of resentment. He said, the difference is here in America, if you got a nice car, people will look at it and they'll say, one day, I'm going to have a car like that. So that's the difference. Socialism is based on envy. Its operation is theft. And it puts people like Daniel Ortega, who was idolized by Bernie Sanders, in power. And let me tell you something. Bernie Sanders and AOC are going to go right down that kleptocrat path of dictatorship as well.
Using free speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.
One of the issues that Bernie Sanders and AOC and these other Democrats have ridden to popularity is the fight for 15. Of course, everything is going to be solved by a $15 per hour minimum wage. Republicans don't really seem to be able to fight that effectively because, as we said many times, Republicans and conservatives will fight to maintain the status quo. They won't oppose minimum wage rules and principles. As a matter of fact, we had Richard Nixon impose wage and price controls as if that was going to work to fight inflation. But it was very predictable. We knew this was going to happen in New York City. Of course, they jumped on that. You know, they're going to mandate prosperity there by raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour. What did we say? We said, well, it's simply going to mean that fewer people, A, you're either going to have the businesses who have to make a profit. They're either going to have fewer people working there, or they're going to have to raise their prices. Well, they're raising their prices, many of them. And the New York Post is talking about how restaurants all over the city are doing that, and it's getting people upset, mainly the people who were going to the cheapest of the restaurants, the fast food restaurants, the people at the lower end who were supposed to benefit from this minimum wage increase. They're the ones who can't afford it. They got one person, Starbucks patron, quoted by the New York Post. It's obnoxious. It's kind of like a slap in the face. Another increase like this and I won't come back. A Five Guys fan, 43 years old, says he's changing his lunch plans because of higher prices. I was just telling my buddy, these fries are expensive. Employees of the chain said that the fries have only increased by 10 cents since the new year, but that the price for hamburgers had already gone up by a dollar. And restaurants are having to raise their prices in order to pay for the new salary that they have to pay for their workers. And that's going to mean that business is going to go down. They're going to have fewer people. So you're going to have fewer people and you're going to have higher prices. And it's going to hit mostly on the people who are out there for the fight for 15. Now they're fighting for French fries. Maybe it's not a fight for French fries. Maybe it's a flight from French fries because they can't afford socialism. They can't afford mandates. You cannot mandate your way to prosperity. You can compete your way to prosperity. You can create regulations and mandates and central planning, and you can make yourself poor. You can make the politicians very powerful. And these politicians who get into power by promising you free stuff are typically a bunch of thieves and crooks. Let's go to the Sandinistas, for example, that Bernie Sanders loves so much and still can't bring himself to criticize. Why is it? Well, it's because Bernie hates America so much. And let me explain that to you. They call them the Sandinistas, the Sandinista National Liberation Front. They named them after a national hero, Augusto Sandino, who led a resistance against a U.S. military occupation in the 1930s. And old Bernie is still upset about that. I don't like to see foreign intervention. You know that. If you listen to this program, you know that I absolutely hate U.S. foreign intervention. It's not good for us. It's not good for the other people. I don't like Venezuela. I don't like Pompeo and Bolton and Trump talking about how they're going to invade Venezuela. That never works out well for us. Those people, what we're going to do is we're going to galvanize the support for communism if we invade Venezuela. They're figuring out that communism and socialism and central planning doesn't work. And they are an example for people here in America of how it doesn't work. So either they can fix it themselves or they can serve a useful example of showing the world how it doesn't work, just like it doesn't work in North Korea. So I don't want to see this. But just as these people, the Sandinistas, the Sandinista movement back in the 1980s, just as they idealized this guy from 50 years earlier, Sandino, you had Bernie Sanders has continued to idealize these people from 30 years ago, 40 years ago, whatever. Now, he got elected in the mid-1980s. They had their communist revolution. And that was what Bernie Sanders was talking about. He was talking about how it was wonderful and how everybody supported it and how everybody was better off because they had free health care and all this kind of stuff. Did they really? I'm going to talk to you about the corruption that eventually was exposed about Daniel Ortega that Bernie Sanders won't talk about. I called him as these clips came out of him in the 1985s. I've been calling Bernie Sanders Bernie Sandernista. I mean, he should take his name from the Sandinista movement that he loved so much in the 1980s, just as they took it from their resistance to America. Now, he got control in the 1980s. They had some elections. Bernie Sanders was very excited about the fact that communists had actually won an election, because usually they don't win elections. Usually they have to take and keep power at the point of a gun. But it was unusual. He had won elections. And then within just 5 years of Bernie's trip there, where he comes back and talks on public TV about how wonderful the Sandinistas are, he lost election in 1990. Then Ortega clawed his way back to power in 2006 and in 2011. Now, it's interesting because they have a Nicaraguan constitution that prohibits two consecutive presidential legislative terms, but he was able to get his Supreme Court to strike that from the constitution. Because that's the way the liberals run. That's what FDR would do with his New Deal, too. He tried to pack the Supreme Court so he could run through things that were blatantly in violation of the Constitution and the Ninth and Tenth Amendment. Oh, we'll just have the Supreme Court say that I can do whatever I want. And that's what Daniel Ortega did down in Nicaragua. He also proposed removing another part of the Constitution that said that a presidential candidate needed a minimum of 35% of the votes to win an election. Well, that's not a very high standard. He wanted to make sure, though, that you could win an election with only 5% of the votes. he'd get more people to vote for him than Bernie Sanders can. I don't know. Bernie could probably pull in more than 5% of the people. Ortega also has maintained, and this is going back to where he was in the mid-2000s to the current day, He was able to get power there because he kept relations nice and cozy with Hugo Chavez and Colombian drug lord Pablo Escobar. Ortega financed his election campaign with money from Venezuelan oil when they still had money and from the Colombian drugs that he got from Escobar while he was still there. In 2010, Venezuelan money accounted for almost 8% of Nicaragua's GDP. That's the success of Bernie Sanders' policies. And back in 1985, Bernie Sanders was saying about this same guy, Daniel Ortega, he was impressive. Castro has totally transformed Cuba. Well, yeah, he did totally transform Cuba. He was bragging about the fact that when he went there in 1985, he was the highest-ranking U.S. official. Yeah, as mayor of Burlington, Vermont. Nobody in America loved communism and the corrupt Sandinistas who took power with envy and theft. Nobody loved him more than Bernie Sanders. He still loves him. And I remember also the clips from him where he's talking about how they were intelligent, they were sincere, they weren't political hacks, they wrote poetry. You know what? The person who butchered my aunt and uncle with a knife wrote poetry in prison on death row. Idiots in Canada wanted him let loose because of that. Mao wrote poetry. He killed tens of millions of people. You know, poetry, oh, that's fine. Yeah, if you're a Northeastern liberal like Bernie Sanders, it doesn't matter if you kill people. It doesn't matter if you steal your way. It doesn't matter if you become corrupt, as the New York Times referred to Daniel Ortega. Dynasty, the Nicaraguan version. We've seen the rich kids of Venezuela. Remember the poster pictures of all these kids with their trust funds of billions of dollars because the kids of Chavez or Maduro or these other oligarchs that are there, the kleptocrats ruled by thieves. New York Times, even the New York Times, a decade ago, Daniel Ortega of Nicaragua made a startling comeback, persuading voters to give him a second chance. It was a hard-fought victory, but drawing relatively little international scrutiny, Daniel Ortega, the idol of Bernie Sanders, has worked in recent years to consolidate power by building a vast network of patronage and vanquishing the political opposition. I'll tell you how Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is going right down that path. Welcome back. I told you that Ocasio-Cortez has already headed down the path of corruption that we've seen Daniel Ortega, hero of Bernie Sanders, head down. WND points out that, you know, we heard all this stuff about how she was struggling to find a place to live in Washington, D.C., which is so expensive for her. I said, oh, no problem. She'll line up some corporate sponsors in no time. And she has, evidently. As WND points out, she has been lobbying for, quote, safe, affordable, adequate housing for all. But now her new address in Washington is a luxury apartment complex that doesn't offer affordable housing units that were a key part of her campaign. She bragged about the fact in New York, oh, I'm not going to take any money from these rich developers and so forth. She also, in this very wealthy apartment complex, they don't offer any affordable units under Washington, D.C.'s Affordable Dwelling Units Program, where they would set aside some affordable units for the poor. No, not where she lives. Not where Occasional Cortex lives. The 29-year-old is receiving $174,000 a year from taxpayers, and so now she's moved into a newly built high-rise, luxury high-rise, in the city's Navy Yard area. The residence offers more than 100,000 square feet of amenities, including state-of-the-art hydrotherapy beds, saunas, an indoor lap pool, a rooftop infinity pool, a cycling studio, a fireside lounge, and she's just been a congresswoman for about a month or so. I mean, she's well on her way to a life of congressional political privilege. Privilege, yes, this is what these people have. Nobody has privilege like these people. She's going to discover if she plays her cards right. You know, she's got to get control of her mouth. They were not very happy with her for unintentionally telling everybody where this whole thing was headed. They kind of called her on the carpet. If she listens to Nancy Pelosi, Nancy Pelosi will explain to her how she, like Nancy, is exempt from insider trading, and how she, like Nancy, can make sure that she makes a killing in the stock market, knowing which industries and which companies are going to be rewarded and which ones are going to be punished by Congress, and trading on that information in advance. You know, when they put in the Stock Act, which is what they called it, it was set up because of the abuses of Nancy Pelosi that were exposed by 60 Minutes of insider trading, she and her husband. So the nickname for it was the Pelosi Act, but they were going to stop insider trading by Congress people, by their staff. They made a big show of it. Nothing really happened, and after about 6 months, they quietly gutted that law, so she can still become very, very wealthy. When she was running for office, she said, "We need to kick luxury real estate lobbyists to the curb." So she can move into their apartments, evidently. "And we need to defend working people's way of life. Skyrocketing cost of living is a national crisis that can be addressed. And it's not just a New York City issue. It's happening in every U.S. metro area." And now she's living it up, living the life of luxury that she criticized in New York. Then, of course, you know, those poor working people that they climbed to power on their backs, promising them that they would have a great lifestyle if they just had a $15 an hour minimum wage, are the ones who are struggling now to even buy fast food because of the economic realities that she doesn't either understand or doesn't want people to understand. All right, real quickly, before we get into some other news here, I've got to do a retraction about RBG. I always want to say RGB. Talked about RGB monitors for so long as engineer. It's hard. I got to stop and think. It's RBG. Darth Vader Ginsburg. I told you that we had proof of life for her yesterday. I'm not so sure about that. I think we've been had by TMZ. And so I'm going to show you some pictures of her. I'm not really sure that she is alive. And when they do this kind of stuff, it makes me question it even more. But before we do, real quickly, I want to tell you about some of the new products that we have at InfoWarsStore.com. That's what funds this program. We got a lot of products to support your health, and we put them on deep discount occasionally to help you as well, to be able to try them, to afford them. We got some new products. We have the new InfoWars Life protein bars, natural protein packed with fiber, 240 calories, 15 grams of protein each bar. We've got vanilla coconut. We've got chocolate peanut butter. I haven't had the vanilla coconut yet. I've had the chocolate peanut butter. That was delicious. It's got a thin layer of peanut on the peanut butter on the outside. Most of the bar is like a chocolate brownie. Tastes really good. You can get 40% off of two boxes or more right now as part of this introductory offer. We also have Ultimate Bone Broth, a more classic super nutrient. Of course, you can get that at 50% off right now as part of a sale that we have at InfoWarsStore.com. And finally, we have BrainForce Plus, my favorite supplement that we have at InfoWars, 50% off when you get it in combo with our new product, TurboForce, the Brain Synergy Combo, 50% off BrainForce Plus when you get it in combo with TurboForce at InfoWarsStore.com. All right, let's pull up this picture, show people who are watching the broadcast, this picture of Darth Vader Ginsburg. Yesterday, I showed her shuffling through the airport on the arm of a person who was supporting her. And I said, "Oh, look, they've got proof of life." And we even played the little clip from the 1930s version of Frankenstein. "It's alive. It's alive." I said, they will continue to reanimate her even if they got to put her on a platform and elevate her to the point where she gets struck by lightning to reanimate her. But they may not have gone that far. There's the clip. If we go back and look at this, some people have said, "Wait a minute, we've seen this from TMZ before." If we go back to April of 2018 and we look at this recent video clip from February that they just put out, February 2019, she's got the same scarf, she's got the same coat, she's got the same pants, she's got the same shoes, she's walking with the same guy who is also wearing the same suit. I mean, you know, she could be wearing the same clothes that she does. I mean, she's pretty old. Maybe she doesn't have that much interest in changing her wardrobe that much. I mean, she's got a favorite coat and shoes, and she wears that all the time. But this other guy who is supporting her walking through the airport is dressed exactly the same as well. And TMZ is trying to pass this off as recent proof of life. I don't know. I mean, we're told that she went to a benefit where they applauded her and so forth, but no pictures were allowed. No pictures surfaced of that. I don't know. I mean, you know, they could be ghostwriting her opinions for all we know, keeping her there. She's become kind of the Howard Hughes of the Supreme Court. Remember Howard Hughes? He disappeared for years before he was officially declared dead. Many people said, we haven't seen him in public for many years. Is he still alive, or are these guys still running the corporation pretending that he's alive so they have to go through probate and will examination and so forth? Later, we had stories about how he was a recluse and his fingernails are grown out to be a couple of feet long or whatever it was. Maybe that's the case with her. Maybe, I don't know. I mean, can you write a decision if you got fingernails like Howard Hughes? It's a strange situation. She is the darling. She is the idol of the left, even more so than Bernie Sanders. But they're moving in that direction. And as far as Jesse Smollett goes, as I said earlier, he has not only lied to the local Chicago police, and he could face prison time of up to 3 years. Looks like they're moving ahead with that, with the Chicago police, for staging that attack. These two guys that he worked with, we heard that they were Nigerian. Now they're saying, well, we're not Nigerian. I thought at first that he had an excuse. Maybe he would say that they sent him an email. And they'd promised that, they were Nigerian princes and they had a business deal that they could help him out with. Or, you know, maybe he could just say, hey, we were doing something that we're going to use later as part of the acting thing. But no, he was very serious about that. He took the police to one point and said, it was lucky that it happened here because we got a camera up there. Well, they thought it was suspicious that he was so aware of the camera when it was pointing the other direction. They thought it was very suspicious that these people would attack him and say Chicago is MAGA country. They said, that really didn't make any sense because, again, that was where Antifa cut their teeth on their violence against Trump supporters and conservatives. And they said, how dare President Trump, all the people there in Chicago, how dare him come to Chicago? This is our town. You get out of here. No conservatives allowed here. So they thought that was kind of suspicious. But now, another part of this was that he sent himself a letter, and he had some white powder in it. The letter had a message that said, die, black fag, and it had white powder. Turned out to be crushed aspirin. And so now they got the FBI investigating this. And people pointed out that if he's trying to get people to think that this is a biological weapon, this is poison that he's sending through the mail, through the federal mail, that is a federal crime. The FBI, take a look at that. He could get 5 years from the feds, in addition to the 3 years from the Chicago police.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, your host, David Knight.
I got one more thing to say about socialism, and then we'll give Bernie a rest today. And we're going to get into measles, you know, that other thing. My body, my choice. You want to talk about that when it comes to vaccinations? We're not seeing that anywhere. We're not seeing that. They're using the measles scare to take away our choice about not only our health care, but also about our children's education in many different areas. So we're going to get to that in just a moment. But I want to say one more thing about socialism. We've got the Pope out there saying that Christians should not fear looking like quote-unquote communists. He said, God asks us lots of uncomfortable and inconvenient questions, the Pope said. And this was what he said at morning mass this last Sunday. He said, you know, like when God was in the Garden of Eden and he asked Cain, where's your brother? Knowing full well that Cain had killed his brother Abel. And I would say, you know, maybe the president, maybe the Pope is feeling a little bit of those uncomfortable, inconvenient questionings reverberating in his life. Like God asking, what have you done about those pedophile priests and nuns that you know about? What have you done about that? What have you done to protect other people? Well, I'm not the choir boy's keeper. I don't know what he's going to say. But, you know, Cain was killed by Abel out of envy, wasn't he? Just like the communists who killed about 100 million people in the 20th century. He said, we ease our conscience a little by giving alms as long as it doesn't hurt too much because we fear that with these social things, the church ends up looking like the Communist Party. And this bothers us. You know, a lot of people, if you ask people in school, a lot of them, you ask them, what is this, from each according to his ability to each according to his need? Where does that come from? Is that, that comes from the Bible. They don't recognize that was Karl Marx saying that in order to get power. But have we really seen that in practice ever with any communists or socialists? Do they really put that into practice? No, they don't. No, they don't. It's not brother helping brother. It's setting the government up as God. Always when these people get power, the first thing they do is to try to eradicate any competition from any religion, not just Christianity, from any religion. I mean, look at what's continuing to go on in China, how the Chinese communists have come after not only Christians, but also Falun Gong. I don't even know what they believe, but they are ruthlessly persecuted by the Chinese communists. They're going after the Muslims. Now the mainstream media is interested. Oh, they're going after the Muslims. Oh, we were never interested when they were executing Christians, shooting them in the head, sending their bodies over to the U.S. to be plasticized and put on tour. Now, they weren't concerned about that. But now that they're doing, they're making Muslims eat pork. Oh, now we're concerned. The bottom line that the Pope does not want to address, and other people like him in the Protestant movement, the Sojourners, are trying to do the same thing with evangelicals. What they don't want to address is that your brother's greatest need is not material, right? We help people materially, you know, because we want to establish a relationship. But their biggest problem is that they don't have that relationship with God, not that they have material need. Yes, we look after their material need. It is hypocrisy to say, well, you know, we don't really care about your circumstances in life. We're just going to give you, a religious tract or whatever, you know, or just say God loves you and pass on. No, you don't do that. You take care of their material needs, but you take care of their material needs. You don't abandon this responsibility to government. You don't make government God. You don't say, well, yeah, I gave it the office or I gave it the IRS and I don't have to help these people. See, that's the problem. And in too many ways, the left and the right will abdicate these issues, just like the right abdicates the deep spiritual need that drug addicts have. They'll abdicate that to law enforcement. And they'll say, lock these people up, brutalize them in the war on drugs. We're not going to help them. That's the real problem. All right, we'll be right back. Stay with us.
Deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. You know, there's a lot of move that we've seen in the media lately. Maybe you haven't noticed. I've talked about it the last couple of weeks. The first one I saw was out of Austin. Austin is a hotbed of anti-vaxxers. And we've got this measles issue. You know, we had a couple of dozen people get measles, whatever. Then we saw the same article, but being done about Houston. Then we saw one about the Philippines. They said, look at this. There it wasn't, 20 or 30 people have measles, and we got to panic about that. There it was 70 kids have died. It's like, whoa, really? Well, that's unusual. Were they all kids? Were they adults who didn't have any immunity against measles because they'd never gotten it as children? I mean, it was not a disease that was feared by people when I was growing up. As a matter of fact, I've got a clip here for you of how measles was treated in popular culture. Going back to things like the Donna Reed Show in the 1950s, the Flintstones in the 1960s, the Bradys in the 1970s, and so forth. A lot of clips of that kind of stuff. But I've talked many times about how these childhood diseases It was very common for parents, and they found out somebody had it. Certainly it happened in my wife's family. They had four kids, 3 years apart. She's a twin. And when they found out the kids down the street had measles, mom said, all right, all of you go down there and play with them today. So they would call CPS just for doing that today. You've got kids who are out free range playing with other kids, you know. Be back before dark. That was a risky world in which we live. Now everybody is scared to death by mainstream media. They think there's a serial killer on every block and so forth. But, they would go down there and get it so they could get it over with. Get all the kids sick at once and we get it over with. Going back to the Philippines, when you look at the actual data, they had 4,300 kids had measles. I said 70-some-odd had died or something like that. And I thought, how does that change? How is that different from what they would usually expect kids to have a life expectancy there in the Philippines? And I looked at it, and for children dying of all different causes, the deaths per thousand was something like 28 deaths per thousand is what they would typically expect. But when you look at the number of kids who died per thousand based on this measles epidemic, it was only about 3 or something like that. I forget what I'm going from memory now. It was last week I talked about that. But again, you want to play the statistics game. You say, what? Get measles, you're less likely to die than the kids, in the Philippines who don't have measles. That's the kind of conclusion you can wrench out of that data if you want to. The bottom line is that it didn't get more dangerous for these kids because they had measles. It was about 1/10 what you would expect from kids in the general population. The number to die per thousand, it was about 1/10 of that that they claimed had died under the measles epidemic. And you'd have to go back to convince me that you actually had that many deaths from measles. Everybody I knew had measles, and everybody was not taking it very seriously. But today, we treat it as if it is Ebola. And I was just telling you how in Iowa, they wanted to eradicate, not measles, but homeschooling and parental involvement in their children's lives. And so you had a radical Democrat female legislator there who came up with a bill to remove the terms private education, completely remove it from the Iowa code, strike it, all forms of private education, including homeschooling, but also any competition from private schools. And when that failed because it was too radical, just like Cory Booker, just like Kamala Harris, we'll do it. Got to do it incrementally. So they come back and they say, all right, we'll keep private education there, but we'll regulate it out of existence, essentially, by saying that if you homeschool your kids, you're going to have mandatory vaccines, and we're going to have inspections of your home, and we're going to do that every quarter, four times a year. We're going to send people mandatory there. If you don't allow us into your home, we'll go before a judge, and we'll send CPS into your home to do an even greater inspection. So, citizen, what are you trying to hide from me that you do not want a bureaucrat rummaging through your home? Looking for something to come after you. We've had a lot of people who've had their children separated from them for a very long time simply because accusations were made about them, about their education, not about any kind of physical or sexual abuse, but simply because, they're being homeschooled. We'll send CPS over to do something about it. That's what they're trying to do in Iowa, and they bring in vaccines as part of that. Here's the way measles were always treated in popular TV. I'll just play a part of this. It's a very long thing, but here's a little bit of the measles back in the day.
Well, Doc, what's the big McGill here? What's with my boy?
Measles.
Measles?
Oh, no.
Say it isn't so, Doc. You're kidding, huh?
That's what it is.
Well, don't get excited. It's not serious.
Sure, though, it isn't serious.
No, it's not serious. It's just a catastrophe, that's all.
To you, it's a catastrophe. To me, it's a catastrophe. Every seat in the house is sold out.
Well, I better take care of refunding the ticket money.
Listen, just tell him he's sick, but don't say what's wrong with him. You hear me? Oh, measles. Measles. Listen, Doc, can I see you a minute, please? I want to talk to you.
You can get dressed now.
This is very important. Believe me, it's a matter of life or death. You've got to help us out. Me and my boy are in big trouble.
Well, if your boy takes it easy, he'll be as good as new in a few days. He's only got measles.
Only got measles. Doc, if he only had gangrene or typhoid fever, believe me, we could wring their hearts out. But the measles ain't got no class. It's kid stuff. They'll laugh at us.
That's incredible.
Doc, Look,
not today.
Let them hate us, love us,
today is like
us,
Ebola.
Spread nasty things about us in the newspapers we go sailing on. But if they laugh at us, we're dead, believe me.
Do you mind terribly if we kept in here?
Honey, has that con man been talking to you?
Look, we've all had the measles, so there's no problem there.
We've all had the measles, there's no problem, you know that.
Going off to a cold hotel room.
You can stay at a hospital.
But if the teenagers found out, honey, it's just for a few days. Mary and Jeff would get a kick out of it, I don't mind.
Well, Mom, let's go, honey. The plane leaves in an hour. That's funny. It's locked. Well, maybe they're over at my house, huh?
We're in here, Fred. Both of us.
Gee, it sounds like they're crying. What's wrong, Wilma? Open up.
We can't. We've got the measles.
All right, stop playing games. Your plane leaves in an hour and... The measles? Oh, it can't be. You were both all right this morning.
It broke out after you left to pick up the plane tickets.
First Wilma, then me. We caught it from little Alonzo next door.
Alonzo? I'll sue him. This could cost us $10,000.
Yeah, that's right. You can't bake with measles. The cake may break out.
And another thing, Fred. You'll have to stay with Barney at his house for a few days till we get over this.
Measles are very contagious.
Oh, this is awful.
Oh, don't worry, Fred. Measles don't hurt.
They sure do. The worst kind of pain. In the pocketbook.
You might as well return the plane tickets, Fred. Betty and I will never make that contest in time.
Come on.
All right, let's hold it right there. You get the idea, right? It wasn't a big deal. And everybody, like Donna Reed said, we've all had measles. We know it's not a big deal. But people haven't had measles today. And they've been scared by Big Pharma into thinking that it is a life-threatening disease. Look, you can die from a cold, right? You can die from complications from anything. It isn't like Ebola, however, and people back then knew that. That's how easy it is to gaslight people. Now, on the other hand, things that are an issue, as I pointed out many times, we got 5G that's being rolled out to us. I've talked about all the studies that came out, especially the Polish study that was released in 1996 when they gave the telecommunications industry immunity. Said you're not going to be able to push back against cell phone towers. Now we're going to have 5G antennas every 50 feet. They're going to be everywhere, very close to you. Yeah, it'll be a lower power, but, you know, don't worry about that. It's lower power, just like your cell phone is. You know, there's an article came out. Another big reason not to buy a Chinese smartphone. Maybe you're not worried about getting a phone from the Chinese NSA, but when you look at the radiation coming out of the Chinese cell phones, like... Huawei, but also Google is pretty high up. iPhone is pretty high up. You got a couple of different Chinese companies, OnePlus, another one, Xiaomi, I think is the way it's pronounced. Really high rates compared to other cell phones. But, you know, don't worry about that. It's just fine. Worry about the measles. You know, it seems like safety is kind of proportional to profits today, doesn't it? Of course, it's always been that way. Remember, we're talking about the 1950s. Yeah, everybody had measles and we got over it. We had immunity from it. Didn't have to worry about catching it when we were older. But we also had television telling us that 9 out of 10 doctors smoke Lucky Strikes. It's the cigarette brand that they prefer. And they're saying the same thing now, essentially about other products that they're trying to sell us, you know, like vaccines or like cell phones, things like that. Don't worry about that. You know, they had to have immunity from prosecution in order to put these vaccines out there with all the irritants in there. You know, they weren't getting the immunity that they needed out of it, so they had to put things in there to irritate your immune system. Well, sometimes that creates immune disease. Sometimes it creates other nervous system problems. Sometimes it doesn't ever give you the kind of immunity that you want. But, you know, don't worry about that. Just do what they say. kind of see the same thing happening in China as well. I was just talking about when we come up to the 5G rollout of stuff. The government here is very, very concerned, trying to keep Huawei out of providing service here in America because of their close ties to the Communist Party. That's the way that it is with everybody that is very high in business there. They don't have capitalism in China. They have the Communist Party is still in control. It's a even more concentrated form of crony capitalism than we have here in the United States. Only the people like this Huawei executive that was arrested in Canada, people who are Communist Party royalty, get to own these different companies, just as we saw with Alibaba. And when we look at the radiation coming out of the Chinese phones, maybe you should be more concerned about that than about your privacy. You know, if the communists are spying on me, they don't have the capability to do to me what the American government that wants to spy on me with the cooperation of the American corporations wants to do. Yeah, that's the real, that's the big threat to us. You know, the whole thing, the panic on the part of the American government about 5G surveillance by the Chinese should tell you that 5G is ultimately about surveillance. It isn't that the American government wants to protect your privacy. They want to be the ones who are watching you, who own that data, who have the capability to use geospatial intelligence against you, to analyze all of your activity, to dominate the human domain. These have been the key parts of American intelligence for quite some time. They're more subtle about it. They're more hidden about it than the Chinese. The Chinese will come out and say that you can go anywhere you want as long as you obey them and you don't cross them. But if you cross them, you're not going to move a footstep. And now they're coming out, pushing back. The Huawei founder is pushing back against America, says, if the lights go out in the West, the East will still shine. Kind of similar to what he was warning people there about their social credit scores and their biometric data, where they're measuring everybody with the constant surveillance there in China. But he's now talking about the competition for who is going to be surveilling us. Well, you know, will it be Huawei watching everything that Americans do, or will it be the American government itself that's going to be watching you as you expose yourself to these higher levels of radiation? Here's what the Huawei founder had to say.
No way the U.S. can crush us. The world needs Huawei because we are more advanced. Even if they persuade more countries not to use us temporarily, we could just scale things down a bit. And because the U.S. keeps targeting us and finding fault with us, it has forced us to improve our products and services.
What kind of impact would it have on your business if the U.S. is successful in getting many of its partners in the West to shut your equipment out?
If the lights go out in the West, the East will still shine. And if the North goes dark, then there is still the South. America doesn't represent the world.
How important?
Yeah, if the North goes dark, the South will still shine. That kind of is what happened in North Korea and South Korea, right? Nevertheless, there's an article on Zero Hedge. Another big reason not to buy a Chinese smartphone is not just the surveillance that the federal government is worried about, because, you know, the federal government doesn't care at all about your privacy. They're just worried that the various government agencies are going to be spied on by the Chinese government. And, of course, that's a very well-founded concern. But there's also health-related reasons that you might want to think about. Did you ever, when you're shopping for a cell phone, take a look to see which ones have the most radiation? You'd be surprised. This infographic that Zero Hedge has shows the phones that emit the most radiation when held to the ear while calling. Now, should we worry about that? I mean, it's just really, really low power. That's what they tell us about the 5G antennas that they're going to be putting every 50 feet. Of course, you've also got radiation coming out of your cell phone that's in your pocket or up to the side of your head. And they found out that a Chinese vendor, Xiaomi, I guess is the way you pronounce it, X-I-A-O-M-I, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, and they're in first place. Second place is another Chinese vendor, OnePlus. They said, while there's been no universal guideline for a safe level of phone radiation, why is that? Why is that? Because of big money. The same reason that they don't have other safe levels defined for other things. If there's enough corporate profit in it, or if it's corporate profit and the government can use it as a form of population control, they don't care at all about safety. And that's really the story with 5G. So the German certification for environmental friendliness only certifies phones that have a specific absorption rate of less than 0.6 watts per kilogram. All the phones that are featured here in this infographic have more than double that. So remember, their standard of safety in Germany is 0.6. Now, where are some of these? To give you an example, the number one is not 0.6, it's 1.75, nearly triple what the Germans say is a safe level. The one right below it, OnePlus, they're 1.68, almost the same amount. Then Xiaomi, if that's the right way, comes in at number three again. Then OnePlus comes in at number four, so they're kind of alternating with each other. As a matter of fact, Xiaomi had four that were on this list. There were four from OnePlus, two from Google, the Google Pixel 3 XL and the Google Pixel 3. Apple had two, the iPhone 7, the iPhone 8, so they're not exempted from that either. Sony had one that was on there. You might want to take a look at that. And as a matter of fact, you might want to be concerned about the radiation that you're going to be exposed to in every single city as well. As I pointed out many times, they already knew from a massive study in Poland. It went on for 14 years. They looked at 128,000 people in the Polish military each year for 14 years. Now, you hardly ever see epidemiological studies that are that vast. And they studied them from 1971 to 1985. That was a 14-year period. They released the report in 1996. That was when the U.S. government said, we're not going to allow people to object to cell phone towers because of health issues. They found that they were 8.62 times more likely to develop certain types of leukemia, 14 times more likely to develop blood-forming organs leukemia. And we had similar studies coming from Germany and Israel and Australia in 2003, 2004. But don't worry.
Liberty, it's your move. This is the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. You know, we just saw the article that was floated around mainstream media. Drudge picked it up, talking about a universal flu vaccine. Yeah, they think they've identified killer cells and it could work against every strain of flu. And in about the fourth paragraph of that, I pointed that out, I think it was yesterday, maybe it was Monday. They said, well, you know, the flu vaccine doesn't work too often because we don't really know what strain of flu. There's so many of them. We don't really know what strain of flu to vaccinate you for, right? You know, they prepare the vaccines way, way, way in advance. They just kind of guess, and the flu strains are always mutating and changing, and they don't know what you're going to be exposed to, but they give you that flu vaccine, and it takes down your immune system, and now you're more susceptible to whatever flu is going around at that point. And I said at the time, I said, you know, when they start talking about a universal flu shot, remember that universal is going to mean that it's going to be universally applied to all of us. It's going to be mandatory. And that actually is the case. You know, if we go back to April of last year, April 27th, 2018, we had Bill Gates address a medical meeting in Massachusetts, the Shattuck organization that he spoke at, the Shattuck Lecture for Massachusetts Medical Society. That's what it was. April the 27th. It's put together by the Massachusetts Medical Society, New England Journal of Medicine, and so forth. And his feature thing at the time was, guess what? A universal flu shot. But he made it very clear that he wanted it to be, as I said yesterday, mandatory. Mandatory. When they say universal, that's what they mean. It doesn't mean necessarily it's going to help you with every strain of flu. It means that every single one of us is going to be forced to have it. So what does that mean about my body, my choice again? Can I get some clarification from that, from the Democrats, from Bill Gates, whose family has always been, you know, like the Bushes, they've always been there with Planned Parenthood. His father was a big leader at Planned Parenthood. He's always been about eugenics, about population control. We got too many people, got to get rid of some of them. I've got all these ideas about mandatory vaccines for this, for that. We're going to come up with that. He was very quick to push back against occasional cortex, as a matter of fact, when she unintentionally gave away some of their plans. You know, well, I don't know that we want to go that far that quickly. Yeah, that's a, don't tell people where this is leading. Don't tell them that we're going to take away cars and we're going to take away planes and we're going to ban all private transportation and all internal combustion engines and we're going to ban meat and so forth. Don't tell them all that. Don't tell them that we're going to lock them into the cities, expose them to high levels of 5G radiation so we can track and tax their every movement. Don't tell them that. They don't read the UN plan, the UN 2030 agenda for sustainable cities, for smart cities. They don't know what that is. They don't know that a few Silicon Valley billionaires are going to own the cities. I mean, it is the model, as we said many times, that we see already in existence in China. And so as we have, this story from early February, before they were talking about their universal flu vaccine, the killer cells, and how, yeah, we'll solve that problem of not knowing which strain of flu. So half of parents worry that flu shots make children sick. A third of them believe that doesn't work at all. That's right. That's right. They're wringing their hands over that. And then scaring you with CDC figures saying, you know, well, we had 180 kids who died from influenza. And it's like, well, no, I've told you many times, we've talked to a lot of people who have given you, shown you the documents, published the documents, saying the CDC is telling people, look, if somebody's got flu-like symptoms, just call it the flu. Don't send us a strain of it. We don't have time to test all those things. And yet we get these numbers that they treat as if they are real from the CDC, telling us how many people got sick from the flu, how many people died from the flu. Well, they didn't even test it. They just said, you know, diagnose it as the flu. And we've had people who had flu-like symptoms because they had something, let's say, like Rocky Mountain spotted tick fever or something like that, and they just diagnosed it as the flu, and it wasn't flu. They did have flu-like symptoms, but they died because they didn't do the testing, because they can't be bothered. And so they said, because information can come from so many places, from friends and from family, from the internet, oh, we don't want to get information from the internet or from people who have actually experienced some of this stuff. You know, talk to your doctor. Talk to a doctor who has credible information and credentials because, you know, science. Again, the flu vaccine, they said, works by exposing the body to a small part of the virus in theory, but it also exposes you to other things that they put in there because they have problems with it working. But, you know, if it is something that they can make money at, then it's just not a problem at all. Like a cell phone, for example. Facebook is going to be joining this fight. They are going to block any anti-vaccine information. So now we get censorship brought in, right? It's not enough for them to argue from the standpoint of authority. I'm an authority. I've got a degree. So what I tell you about climate change or about vaccines, you just believe me and shut up. No, not going to show you the studies and don't want you to read those studies on the internet. It's like when I was talking about statins and cholesterol with my doctor, and he said, you've been consulting Dr. Google. And I said, uh-huh. And I bit my tongue instead of saying, somebody's got to read the studies. If you won't do it, I will. Yeah, you can read the studies yourself, quite frankly. You know, just like you can read the Constitution yourself. I don't need Ginsburg to tell me what the Constitution says. I don't need Roberts to tell me what I can read it myself. Thank you. And I can read these studies as well. These people have a habit of looking the other way when there's enough money to be had. We're now seeing, yet again, the surfaces from time to time. But right now, glyphosate is kind of in play. It's one of these interesting things. So you see articles like this, studies link canine cancer to lawn chemicals. Now, that got my attention because I had a dog who died in the early 1980s from this exact same thing. And at the time, he was diagnosed with a rare form of leukemia. I happened to hear a news report about how people who were agricultural workers and exposed to this, even though they were wearing protective clothing when they were applying glyphosate and other chemicals like this, they were getting that same rare form of cancer. And I had seen these chemical lawn sign treatments, keep your dogs and pets off the lawns and so forth. In our neighborhood, we lived in a neighborhood at the time. And so I thought, that was in the 1980s. Here we are 30 years later, And they're talking about it now. But of course, in the 1990s, in 1999, there was a study published that showed that 2,4-D, another one of these chemicals, of course, we have dicamba and dicamba drift. You know, it doesn't just stay on those particular lawns. You got a lot of farmers in the Midwest who are concerned because these pesticides that have been created by these various companies are drifting over onto their property, and they don't necessarily want that. It's killing their organic crops, contaminating them. But of course, from Monsanto's perspective, these people are getting something for free. You know, they want everybody to poison their land so that they can only grow specially genetically modified seeds from Monsanto that are immune to the poison that they put out there. But then that poison drifts other places. And even the farmers who try to get off of it, they get sued for copyright violation because they find traces of the pesticide, or they find traces, in most cases, traces of the seed that has drifted over onto their property and grown. They say, oh, you got some of that seed on your property. We're going to sue you for that now. They've driven a lot of Indian farmers into committing suicide because they can't operate without buying all of their products from Monsanto. But now they're saying lawn chemicals, particularly those containing 2,4-D, have been linked to at least two types of canine cancer. Studies have shown that lawn chemicals travel to neighboring yards and inside homes, and chemicals have been found in the urine of dogs whose owners did not spray their lawns. We never did. Sadly, the evidence that lawn chemicals are linked to cancer in dogs has been accumulating steadily over the past 20 years. No, past 30 years, at least. Even if you don't own a pet, this should raise alarms for anyone who cares about children or even your own health. They have become, these dogs have become the canaries in the coal mine. That's where that is. But meanwhile, there is now a war on, guess what? CBD. I'll tell you more about that when we come back. Stay with us.
I'm racing.
Just to give you an idea of how evil Facebook is, the fact that I pointed out earlier that they're banning anybody discussing adverse effects of vaccines. They're going to ban anti-vaccine pages, any anti-vaccine information. They're also going to ban any pro-hemp pages. All this to protect big pharmaceutical companies. You know, and we're talking about hemp here, folks. Industrial hemp. We're not talking about anything that has psychoactive effects in it, THC, anything like that. We're talking about CBD. We're talking about industrial hemp that would be grown for agricultural products, things like textiles and paper, things like that they've always had. Even though it was passed, President Trump signed the Agricultural Improvement Act of 2018, legalizing industrial hemp on a national scale. So now Facebook moves in with Big Pharma to push back against it. They're not worried about the competition. We don't have a textile industry anymore. We've lost that to China. But they're worried about the aspects of CBD. And it's not just Facebook. They're trying to claw back prohibition of marijuana. But they're going after CBD. And I find that to be very interesting. Good luck with that. How do you even justify? I mean, President Trump, Mitch McConnell, others have finally come around to the idea that, yeah, you know, when you're talking about hemp and you're talking about CBD, things that don't have THC, the thing that gets you high, they didn't have it at all. It is a form of marijuana that doesn't have THC in it, or is in such a minute trace that you couldn't, as Ron Paul says, you couldn't get high on hemp if you smoked an entire, 50 feet of rope. Washington used to grow hemp. It's a completely different thing. And if you want to try to claw back marijuana prohibition because big pharmaceutical companies don't want the competition from CBD, good luck with that. And yet, that is exactly what's happening. We're seeing this happening in New York City. We're seeing it happen in North Carolina. Various cities in Florida are starting to try to prohibit CBD. It's been widely available to a lot of different people. For example, this article out of New York. New York City health officials are trying to stop people from getting shots of CBD, for example, in their coffee on the subway. They say Bushwick's Caffeine Underground there on the subway. You could get a cup of coffee for $2.50, but if you want a shot of CBD, a couple of drops of that added, that'll cost just $6. And now they've got New York City's health department is trying to ban restaurants from adding CBD oil. It has there's no way that you can get high from this. It has no negative health effects. There is no question, like there is with vaccines, as to whether or not it is safe. And we've seen New York come in and work at banning sugar and salt and trans fats. And, of course, got Cory Booker out there talking about how you can't have meat. You know, those farting cows, that's not sustainable. Along with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez out there saying, you can't have meat. How is this about, you know, what is this again about my body, my choice? No, they're going to tell me I can't have sugar, salt, meat, trans fat, so forth. Now they're going to tell me I can't have CBD. We need to follow the example. If they're really going to get serious about this, and it looks like they are, and it's not just New York City, it's in North Carolina. I expect that kind of thing out of New York City. But in North Carolina, they say consumers have witnessed a lot of businesses that are now offering CBD-infused products. And now they've got food safety regulators moving to protect the public health. They're not worried about opioids. No, they're worried about CBD that people get in their drinks, which isn't going to make you high. It's not going to get you addicted to anything. North Carolina is joining other government regulators in cracking down on CBD, such as New York City, for example. In Florida, Sarasota, the Sarasota police say that they're going to crack down on CBD products. Then they talked to the Florida State Attorney General, Ed Brodsky. He said, no, I'm not going to prosecute people who sell the non-euphoric cousin of cannabis. In other words, it's got no THC in it. I'm not going to prosecute people for that. Why would the Sarasota Police Department be doing this? Well, they have an interest in this, of course, because they're probably going to use it for civil asset forfeiture. We have all these different police departments. They have made a killing by what is literally highway robbery, stealing people's property without ever accusing them of a crime. And if they can make out that CBD is somehow something that they can prohibit, they have no authority to prohibit that. But if they can prohibit that, call it a drug, put it in as Schedule One, that's where it was put in by the United Nations. Remember, and I'll point out again, the war on drugs is a UN agenda. They created the schedules. They put the drugs in there. They put marijuana. They put CBD, which doesn't have any psychoactive effect on people whatsoever. It doesn't affect you at all. It doesn't get you high. They put that in as a class one. It's ranked as a more dangerous and more addictive drug. It's neither of those than meth by the United Nations, by the DEA and so forth, because they want to get their hands on your property. That's what a lot of these people are doing. You know, New Jersey weed man, I've interviewed him multiple times. He is a hero to me because he went in with jury nullification and he shut this thing down. You think that these people trying to prohibit this stuff, they arrest people for this. Of course, you know, when they take your property, they don't charge you with a crime. So you have to sue them in court to get your, you don't have any due process. If you had a due process, you could go for jury nullification and get your stuff back, as New Jersey weed man did. We've also had the article come out just recently. Harvard, in a massive study, contradicted the anti-pot propaganda. I think this was on Drudge Report last week as well. For decades, they have said that marijuana has a negative effect on male sperm count. Harvard said, you know, we were surprised. Our findings were exactly contrary to what we'd initially hypothesized. Why did they hypothesize that? Well, it's because of, reefer madness. Things like Jeff Sessions was putting out there. They found that low levels of marijuana use could benefit sperm production because of the effect on the endocannabinoid system, which is known to play a role in fertility, but that those benefits would be lost with higher levels of marijuana consumption. Now, that's not even talking about CBD, that's talking about regular marijuana. But you can always count on big government, on Democrats, to tell you what you can put in your body. They don't have a problem if you want to kill your kids, but they're going to be right there to tell you what you can and cannot have. Democrats are pocketing millions of dollars from pharmaceutical industry. That's reported by the Free Thought Project. Actually, originally came from Kaiser Health News. And, of course, a lot of Republicans as well. You got people like Kevin McCarthy. He's the House Minority Leader right now. But also Nancy Pelosi. Got $2.3 million in campaign contributions from big pharmaceutical companies. But what they don't talk about in this article is the fact that you've got the cable news companies like CNN, Fox, MSNBC. They're also on the payroll of big pharmaceutical companies. So they don't. They always give you the negative news, make it up if they have to. Just like you've got Facebook doing the same thing, doing it for big pharmaceutical companies. That's how they own the information that's out there. One last thing we've got here, and of course, I talked about how Arizona is now going to say, anytime you interact and you have to give your fingerprints, we're now going to say you've got to give your DNA as well. Well, you know, a lot of places are collecting fingerprints when you get your driver's license. You're going to have to give them your DNA to get a driver's license? How insane is that? When we look at surveillance, there's an article from Motherboard, which is owned by Vice, saying facial recognition software regularly misgenders trans people. Now, is this going to be the way we're going to resort to protect our liberty and our privacy? We're going to say, well, it affects people who identify as trans. It misgenders them. In other words, the computer software and the biometrics can tell that you're a man or a woman biologically, objectively. And we don't want that because trans people identify themselves as something that they aren't, right? So we're going to have to ban this surveillance software on that basis? I mean, is that our only way that we can protect our liberty and privacy now is to say that it's misgendering trans people? This is the insanity they were going. But you know what? If you get your DNA taken, that DNA is also going to misgender trans people as well, isn't it? All right, that's our final segment for today, folks. Go to InfoWarsStore.com. Check out the products that we have there, especially some of the specials. We got some new ones. We've got Turbo Force in combination with Brain Force Plus. You can save 50% off the Brain Force Plus if you get it with the new Turbo Force. Check out our new InfoWars Life protein bars. We've got two great flavors, vanilla coconut, chocolate peanut butter. It's natural protein, fiber-packed power, and it's got only 240 calories but 15 grams of protein. Each one of those you can get 40% off if you try two boxes or more. Support free speech, support a free press, support your health.